Blog Talk Radio.
He can't pull a monster truck by using just his teeth. And he can't lift an elephant while trembling underneath. But when it came to raising us, you may not have heard. Don't you know that my dad is the strongest man in the world? He can't make a speeding train stop dead in its tracks. And he can't hurl an aeroplane up to the moon and back. If you mention giving up, he'd say that's absurd. There ain't no doubt that my dad is the strongest man in the world. All day long he cares for us, from morn till setting sun. And all that love he's carrying, it must wear time.
I remember was soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands were always gentle, but I don't understand. There was always love in Daddy's hands.
Everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight we're going to hear from Associate Pastor Chad Erickson from the Maryville Church in Tennessee, The Pathway Home. Sunday was Father's Day. While Bill, like many people, has lost his dad a few years back, he shared with me of how he was praying and searching for this show. He was flooded with emotion while thinking about his dad. He remembered how Joy sang the song, Daddy's Hands, at the memorial service. She blended it with another song, and it was a beautiful show of loss and love. Have you ever noticed that when speaking to a father about success or failure in raising the children, most men remember every situation that he wished he had done it better? While Bill is constantly haunted of bad choices he made with his kids. And thinking about his dad, Bill shared that all he could think about was the good times. Not that there weren't any bad, but he couldn't remember any. Instead, he remembered many times as a child when he did wrong. He'll tell you that he knew he was loved. This thought expanded to thinking how God called us his children. Because we understand the child's position really well, God uses the example to show us his love in action. God told us in Matthew 7:11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask? God understands that even when trying to do good, we do bad. We don't have to make a plan to do bad, but this little error upon little error is how we usually get there. It is very important that we understand his love does not start or stop with us being good or bad. The plan of salvation in the Bible is full of paths that lead us to Jesus. That is why he gave us so many illustrations of how to find our way back to him. In his grace is where we find all that we need to be an overcomer. And now let's have a listen.
You only know, I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case. Not for grace. Can you testify with me? Where would I be? Oh! for the grace, the mercy of the Lord. For a father loved us enough that he looked and he said, you know what? I know they're not perfect. I know they sure need a whole lot of help. But I'm willing to be the sacrifice. And so the question is simply this song. I love this song because it's a question. The whole song is a question. It just simply says, where would I be? There's only one who truly knows. Oh, you only know. I'm glad you see through the eyes of love. Happy or homeless day. Happy in empty place. If not for grace. Then it says, and I thank you for the things I cannot see. So many things. You've been a shelter from the storms of life, a shield surrounding me. And I thank you for the mercy you provide. Oh, I know you could have walked away, but you stayed right by my side. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Happy a homeless case, such an empty place, if not for grace. If not for grace. Come on, one more time. Just love him in this place and thank him. Come on, for the grace that he's poured upon us. Thank you for your grace, unmerited. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Amen. The pathway home. I began to study on this subject, and with this subject there comes many subjects within the subject, and I first want to kind of just talk about what we will cover in the next few weeks. This week we're going to study the three types of lost. The next week we're going to study the attitude of the return. Because it's very important how, if you are truly a prodigal, how you react and respond to the pathway home. And so we'll talk about, and I'm going to preach and speak directly to the prodigal. And I'm going to kind of shine light on the correct way to return to ministry. And let me say this, when we say ministry, we're not preaching about just a pulpit ministry. Because we have a ministry team in this church of hundreds. Absolute from the music department to our nursery staff, our daycare workers, school teachers, ushers, greeters, security staff, bookstore workers, coffee shop workers. There is a ministry staff in this church that surpasses really any that I've ever seen. Matter of fact, when we call a ministry staff meeting here at this church, it doesn't look much different than this. I mean, we have sections that are filled with people who work in a ministry. So when we begin to teach on the subject of the pathway home, this is not just for preachers. This is not for fallen preachers. This can be any person that finds himself away from God that wants to come back home. And then the following week after that, our third part of the series is going to be the response of the elder son. The response of the elder son. And it's going to be a lesson on how we must respond as a church to the prodigal who comes home. How we are going to respond, because you know the story, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the elder son did not respond correctly. And we can learn a whole lot from this parable and this older son. So with all those three, today what I want to start with, what I want to begin with is a series, and the part one is simply entitled Lost. I'm so thankful for Pastor Carpenter's keynote to this series that he preached on Sunday night. I hope most of you are here Sunday night. And if you weren't here, please get online and watch Pastor's keynote, because it's amazing, because there were six cities of refuge in the Old Testament. And it was a beautiful plan. It was a beautiful path for the innocent to follow. However, we talked about this later. What about the guilty? What about the man or the woman? Not the second degree offender, but what about the first degree offender? What about the person who made the decision, the bad decision, and knew exactly what they were doing? They survived the consequences, but where was their pathway home? Where did they find mercy? Because every one of us are going to make mistakes. We were born in sin, in iniquity, and we're going to make mistakes. We are but of flesh. We're going to fall. But the important thing is this: if we fall, we must arise. I love the song that says, a saint is but a sinner who falls down, but then gets back up again. I'm so thankful for the opportunity, because the opportunity we have in the New Testament that they did not have in the Old Testament is we were given a pathway. The New Testament, we have a plan of redemption. Mercy and grace entered into this world in the form of a man named Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I thank God for, before the foundation of the world was even set in motion, there was a pathway of redemption. Can anybody just lift up hands to heaven and say, thank you, Jesus, for a pathway that Jesus Christ gave us through the cross of Calvary. A pathway of restoration. And if a righteous God, listen, if a righteous God can create a pathway of restoration for the lost, how much more should we, an imperfect church, desire to create a pathway of restoration for those that fall away from the church? If you think about it, this is, we had a conversation, our pastoral staff had a conversation, and we are coming up with a plan. We are praying. We are asking God to help us to form this pathway. This is going to be more than just a series. This is going to be more than just a series of teaching, of preaching. This is going to be something that we can put into a book form, that somebody can follow the steps of this path, can progress down this path and return back home. Because let me tell you something, there's nothing more important than making sure that a prodigal can get back home to the house of the Lord. Because listen, all we like sheep have gone astray. And if we're not careful, each one of us in some form, in some way, can become a prodigal. We can live a messed up lifestyle and make bad decisions in a way that we're going to pray one day that we have a path to follow to return back home. So there's definitions of the word lost. And in order to create a pathway of restoration for someone who is lost, that person must first recognize that they're lost. So what does the word lost really mean? And I didn't even go to Webster's dictionary. I know there's at least two definitions. One definition is someone who has not followed the plan of salvation and their destination is an eternal destruction. We call them lost. We say it all the time. We make statements like, this world is lost and they're headed to a devil's hell. We talk about a person. We say, we've got to reach them. We've got to preach the gospel to them because they are lost. So that's the first definition. But the second definition of the word lost is what I want to teach about tonight. It's what we find in all three of the parables that Jesus tells about the lost. He tells the parable of a lost sheep, a lost coin, and then he follows it with a lost son. And all three of these lost parables have the very same definition of lost. It's something or someone who at one time was where they were supposed to be, but now cannot be found. The one lost sheep at one time was in the fold with the other 99. The one lost coin at one time was with the other 9 pieces of silver. And the one lost son at one time was living with the second son under the same roof of their father. The parable is not about a shepherd finding somebody else's sheep, or a woman finding somebody else's coin, or a father that adopts somebody else's son. All three have been lost by the owner or by the parent. And all three have this same definition of this word lost. And I want to make sure that I'm getting this across and this point across, because it's going to play into what I'm going to teach the next 3 weeks. You see, in the first lesson in this series called The Pathway Home, it's very important to understand that all three objects that have been lost don't necessarily realize that they are lost. There is a possibility that somebody in this room tonight could very well be lost and not even realize it. You could very well be in a state in a lifestyle that's headed into destruction and not even realize that you're lost. For a parable, listen, I kind of want to parallel between a parable and a proverb, because there's a lot of similarities between a parable and a proverb. A parable is not necessarily an event that actually took place in history. We understand this. But the principle of the parable that is taught is true, no matter if it actually took place or not. I compare a parable to a proverb because good advice and good wisdom is given within a proverb, but a proverb is not a promise. I'm going to say that again. A proverb is not a promise, because God will never force someone to stay in the faith. And I say that because one of our favorite proverbs is simply, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. But we understand if that child makes a decision to walk away, God is not going to stop him just because a parent brought him up in the way that he should go. And just like with a proverb and a parable, the same thing is with both of them. You've got to kind of research every word, every detail of both a proverb and a parable means something. Nothing is written in a proverb or a parable that is just, you know, if I tell you a story, if I witness something that happened at Walmart, and you can witness some crazy things at Walmart. But if I witness something at Walmart and I tell you the story, you know, there's some, obviously it's fact, and obviously it's what I saw, and it's my perspective, and I might add some details that really don't matter. But when you tell a parable, when Jesus would teach a parable, every single thing within that parable meant something. He just didn't add details that didn't matter. So as we begin to delve into and dissect each one of these parables, I want us to realize that we've got to go slow and we've got to understand what we're reading, because Jesus had a purpose to everything that he told. So we begin with the parable of the lost sheep. Look with me in Luke chapter 15, and let's just start in verse 1 so we can kind of pick up the setting before Jesus tells this parable. There's obviously a reason why he told the parable. There are some issues that the Jews had, the religious, the righteous, you might say, the Pharisees, the scribes, they had some issue with the publicans and the sinners that were hanging out with Jesus. And really, they had more of an issue with Jesus hanging out with them. But it says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And so here we go. He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Lost in the shepherd's field. The sheep that wandered beyond the sight of the shepherd. It's a slow fade because sheep don't do anything fast. It's not intentional. I want us to understand sheep. There's no intention of the sheep to escape the shepherd or to escape the fold, because sheep, they want to be in the fold. There's protection in numbers. There's protection among the other sheep. Anything that happened that caused that sheep to be lost was unintentional. It was probably because its head was down and it saw greener grass just a few steps further. It might have saw calm water just a few steps down the bank. But the sheep will never look up and look at the shepherd and say, as soon as he looks away, I'm going to make a break for it. Because sheep don't do that. Sheep congregate. Congregation, fold. They want to be together. They're followers. They find comfort in numbers. It's an accident if they get lost. So let me kind of bring this home and maybe where we're living for just a few minutes. Because I believe there may very well be a lost sheep or two that's right here amongst us, just a little bit out of sight. You know, maybe a choir member. It might get a little touchy here just for a minute. Just bear with me. But maybe a choir member that had a really good excuse about getting out of the choir. Now, I'm talking about just a slow fade. I'm talking about just kind of wandering a little bit. Maybe they had a fear of heights. In that choir loft, it is a little bit steep. Maybe they had, I think it's called vertigo, where maybe when the choir was swaying, they got dizzy. There's good excuses. We don't want anybody falling out of the loft. There's nothing more distracting to a worship service than have somebody come tumbling down those stairs. Maybe somebody, and I've heard this happen, I've had friends that have gotten throat cancer. Nodules on their voice box to where they were not allowed to sing. Their doctor said, you cannot sing for 6 months or 8 months or whatever it is. People, listen, there are good excuses why you might not be able to sing, why you may not be able to be in the choir. And believe me, as a choir director of this church, as one of our choir directors, I don't like to admit the fact that there can be excuses. But let me say this. Also, as an administrative pastor, I also see the big picture when people begin to resign positions. It's going to get kind of weird. It's okay. You got me for 3 weeks. But I'm bright enough to realize there's good excuses. But I'm also bright enough to realize that for every one good excuse, Sister Carpenter, there's probably 10 bad excuses. And we can easily tell a good excuse from a bad excuse. You want to know how? Because we monitor the situation and we take notice if after the excuse has expired, if that person returns back to ministry. Okay, so let's rewind a little bit because this is very important. If you miss this, you've missed it. Sheep get lost, but unintentionally. I don't believe anybody just comes to Sister Carpenter or myself and just says, I need to sit out of the choir because in your mind, you're trying to escape and you're waiting until we turn away so you can run. We understand the process of the sheep wandering. But Jesus was talking about the lost, and he was trying to give three different perspectives of the lost. Because with sheep, again, sheep are looking for water. Sheep are looking for better grazing. Sheep are trying to find a better and a more a beautiful patch of grass that they've never been to before. And it's not intentional. But what we see and what we understand is with this slow fade. And it's easy. The slow fade is easy because all you have to do is get out of the habit of doing something that you've been taught to do. Attending the house of God. Listen, COVID-19 and the self-quarantine that we just went through, it's been a little bit scary. And Pastor has said this. The strong saints, I believe we got stronger. I believe we had more time to pray and more time to study. I've read more books in the last 3 months than I've read in my life, I feel like. But at the same time, people who were in the practice of coming to church every single service, they've got out of the habit, and now they're finding themselves with, well, you know, we've not gone on vacation because we've been locked inside the house for a while, so this weekend, I think, you know, we're just going to go out of town and we're just going to drive up through the mountains and we're going to kind of be out this weekend. And then the following weekend, Sally's got a fever and we got to stay home with Sally because, you know, we can't bring anybody with a fever into the house of God. And we thank you for that. And so you stay home with Sally because she's got a fever. And then the following weekend, your business, your career, your job takes you. You got to go to Nashville and you got to work in Nashville or it's going to fly you down to Florida or somewhere. And over time, we get out of the practice of being where we know we ought to be, and we find ourselves one day waking up like a lost sheep and we don't know where home is. Because sheep, this pathway that we're making is not for a sheep, because sheep can't follow a pathway. Sheep have to have a shepherd that come after the sheep and find the sheep and bring that sheep back. A sheep is not a bad person. It's a good person who has made a bad decision and they've gone too far and not even realized they've gone too far. Their head has been down. They've been grazing. They've been looking for better water. The grass is greener on the other side of the field and they don't even see that the slow fade has brought them to a place. But we, as a pastoral team and as leadership, and we now have great small group and care group leaders, and we have under shepherds who are now watching sheep, and we're saying, oh, you don't even realize that you're by yourself. You don't even notice that there is a lion about to pounce upon you. Because if you watch the Nature Channel, the lions don't go after the herd. They don't go after the flock. They look for the one straggler. They look for the one water buffalo who's all by himself, and I've seen lions take down elephants, small elephants, maybe a young elephant who's just kind of been grazing and been hanging over here and been getting off to the side over here and not realizing that the herd has moved on. And you listen, I saw one yesterday. I hate those videos. They come on Facebook, and there's something inside of me. I don't know. Maybe it's the carnivore that I am. I don't know. But there's something that I see, and I'm just like, oh, surely that small lion cannot take down that water buffalo. There's no way. That water buffalo, its skin is made of like tough rawhide leather. There's no way they can't even get their claws hardly into that. And I watched this video yesterday, And I watched as that female lioness from the back jumped on the back of that water buffalo and held on to his spine with all her might and just would not let go. And that water buffalo was turning from side to side and could not get that lioness off its back. And I watched, and it blew my mind that these lions that were not much taller and bigger than this right here, and this water buffalo who stood probably, his back stood 6 feet tall, they were able to take it down because it was by itself. They were able to take it down because it had no help. Now, it had great horns, and it was a great, mighty beast. But when you're by yourself, I don't care how strong you think you are. I don't care how strong you look. I don't care. You can read your Bible. You can read your Bible till the covers wear off. But if you're not where you need to be, within the fold, within the body of Christ, let me tell you something. It's just a matter of time. You're going to look up, and it's going to be too late. Psalm 23 is a psalm written, and Brother Hammond, I believe it was a couple years ago, he brought a sheep. Y'all remember, he brought a sheep in here. And he taught about this, but Psalm 23, the author is a shepherd, but he gets into the mind of his sheep, and he writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." He's talking to the shepherd. I don't have to fear evil because my shepherd is with me. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." If we're not careful, we look at a rod and a staff as something rod and a staff. I don't want nothing to do with a rod and a staff. But the sheep love it. You say, what about the hook on the end? What about the hook when the shepherd will grab them and from the underbelly will pull that sheep? Doesn't that hurt? Yeah, it probably hurts a little bit. But you look and you see what would happen if the shepherd wasn't pulling with his staff. And to see what cliff you'd be walking off if he wasn't pulling you with his staff. Or if you'd be getting behind, or you'd be grazing off somewhere all by yourself if he wasn't continually coming up and pulling the sheep back into the fold. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. You're not alone in this. That's Bible. We've all gone astray. Didn't mean to. We're trying to be rebellious. We're trying to rebel against the pastor. We're trying to rebel against the church. We're trying to rebel against God's word. We just found ourselves astray. But it's very important to realize that it took a shepherd to find the lost sheep. And that's when we come in as a church. As we come in as under, we know that Jesus, he's our great shepherd, but we have a senior pastor who is in authority below Jesus. And then from there we have under shepherds that help shepherd the flock. And it's our job to find people that don't know they're lost and help them back into the fold. It's our responsibility, every care group leader. Oh, our care group leaders are doing so awesome. If you're not a part of a care group, or if you haven't attended, now listen, I know it's via Zoom, and I know that it's kind of getting a little hard because I told Pastor the other day, I said, you know, if I see one more conference, if I have to watch one more conference on a screen, you know, and we're going to be together pretty soon. Our care groups, we're going to be able to meet in person pretty soon. But if you're not in a care, get in a care group. You need an under-shepherd who's watching over you, who's keeping close track of you. God, help. We don't look at that. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. If I miss a service, I want somebody to text me. If I'm not where I should be, I want somebody to be calling me and saying, "Hey, man, love you, brother. Are you sick? Are you not feeling good? Can I pray for you about something? Oh, I didn't see you at church on Wednesday night. Come on, we ought to want that. If we're going through a valley of the shadow of death, we ought to want to be able to look up and say, yep, got my shepherd right here next to me. The rod, the staff that comes. But what I'm saying is this, it's our responsibility to find the lost sheep. You say, Brother Erickson, what? I thought you were talking about a pathway home. I've got to get there. But before I can get there, I've got to go through the three types of lost. But for the first type, the sheep, there's no path needed for the sheep because a sheep cannot follow a path home. It needs a shepherd. That's why the shepherd said he went and left the 99. Because why? The 99, they were protected within the fold. And so the shepherd said, I can go and find that one because the one is not protected. And the shepherd says, when I find him, I put him on my shoulder and I love the sheep. I come home and we celebrate the fact that I found my sheep. That's why every altar service that we have here at First Apostolic, when somebody renews and somebody gets back and somebody prays back through to the Holy Ghost, that's such a celebration. It's not because they left the shepherd's field. They simply got astray. First thing is the sheep. Look at verse 8, Luke 15 and 8. Now, let's kind of move into the next parable, the lost coin. Jesus goes right into this. He says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found this piece which I had lost. The lost coin is lost in the house. It's lost, but it has not lost its value. The piece of silver, it may be misplaced within the house, but it's not truly lost. You just got to sweep and you got to shine a light until you can find it. And I want you to follow me with this, because the silver in the Bible always represents truth. It represents our beliefs. It is our mind that houses our understanding and our belief system. All right, follow me with this. So this woman, she has 10 coins. I don't even know what countries these come from. But I've got 10 coins here. Silver coins. And this woman has lost one of her coins. Now, 10 pieces of silver. Now, I just believe that our beliefs are doctrine. Listen, we have been revealed the greatest doctrine of the world. We are the most blessed people. You ought to be able to pat yourself on the back and say, how in the world did I get to this place that out of the billions of people that live right now on planet Earth, somehow I've been revealed truth that's found in this word. I'm talking about truth. I'm talking about the Godhead. I'm talking about Jesus. The fullness of the Godhead was in him bodily. I'm talking about the necessity of repentance. I'm talking about the necessity of Jesus' name baptism. I'm talking about the necessity of spirit baptism, the necessity of holy living. Anybody glad that they understand what holy living is all about? Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. What about a prayer life, a daily prayer life, a daily study of God's word? What about the spiritual desire to grow the fruit of the Spirit into your life? What about obedience of the Ten Commandments? What about separation from the world? You may be seated. These are 10 coins that are housed in your mind. It's your belief system. And if we're not careful, listen, if we lose any one piece, If we say, you know what, I just don't know. How can we believe that everyone must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Is it really essential, or is it maybe just the frosting on the cake to make us to the next step in our spiritual walk with God? And if you're not careful, you can lose one of your pieces, one of your coins in the house. Now, you may not ever leave the pew. Maybe it's holiness. Maybe it's separation from the world that you struggle with. And you question, and every time the pastor preaches on it, you just kind of in your heart, you say, well, that's his opinion. And I've got my own opinion, and I know this is how he feels, and I know the pastor's got this little handbook that the choir has to sign and the ministry staff has to sign. But you know what? I've got my own way of thinking about some of those separation standards. I'm about to start preaching. I only got about 10 minutes, but I'm about to start preaching here because I've got a question for you. What else is in your mind besides truth, besides the coins of truth? Because whatever it is in your mind, in your house, is cluttering your house in a way that things are being misplaced that have no business being misplaced. Oh, my God. What's the big deal, lady? You only lost one of your coins. You still got 9 more. What's your problem? Take your 9 and do something. You've got 9 pieces of silver. Is it really a big deal that you lose one? Who cares? But the problem is this. If we lose any one of the doctrines that are taught in this word, just think about it. If you lose the fact that Jesus is God, that messes up baptism. That messes up the reason that we're covered by his blood. Listen, if you don't understand the oneness of God, that messes up all the doctrines. You might as well just throw all your coins down. Because if you allow anyone to be lost in the house, everything within your mind starts getting messed up. That's why there's people this is common. Now, there's a lot of people, Sister Yoko, they'll say, I'll always believe in repentance. Oh, I'll always believe there's only one God. I'll always believe the infilling of the Holy Ghost is essential. But these standards of holiness, is that really required? I mean, how much, Brother Weatherly, how much does it really take to get into heaven? And all it takes is just one piece of silver getting lost up in there. And I've seen pastor after pastor fall for that one piece lost business. And they've not swept their house and they've not found that piece. And due to not sweeping their house and not shining the light of the Word of God and looking for that one piece they lost, you know what happens? Sooner or later they lose the rest of the 9. Because they all go together. It's what's in the house. The silver was knowledge. The silver was the belief system. That's what the Bible, whenever it talked about silver, that's what it had to do with. Oh, God, help us to sweep anything out of the house that needs to be swept out of the house. Turn on the light of the Word. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my pathway. Because I don't want to sin against God. And if I don't keep my mind illuminated, I can't find the things that I've lost. Oh, my God. Listen, it's due. It's due to things like Hollywood entertainment that gets into our minds and puts things in our heads that never belonged in our heads. And all of a sudden, what now? Well, I'll tell you what. When you should be finding the coin that you've lost, you can't find it because there's so much debris going on in your brain. That televangelist that you've been watching because he just preaches so fiery. And what you don't realize is he's preaching stuff into your soul that you don't even see, you don't even realize until it's too late. And you lose your coin and you can't find it again. You can't find it again because so much junk is all around that coin. You got to sweep, you got to sweep, you got to get the light on. Listen, social media can hurt you. You may be saying, social media can hurt you. I'm almost done. I'm about to close. We'll pick up next week. Social media can hurt you. Because you can find the latest, greatest, muscular pastor putting his tweets on Twitter. And that stuff can get you thinking thoughts that God never intended you to think. Put doctrinal thoughts that are not found in the Word into your mind. To when the pastor gets up here and starts preaching straight from the Word, you start saying, well, that's not what Pastor so-and-so that I follow on Twitter said. That's not what he said about grace and mercy. That's not what he said about faith and hope. I don't know. Who should I believe? When I tell you who you should believe, you ought to sweep, oh my God, you ought to sweep your house clean until you can find every one of those coins that you've lost and say, I found it is essential. Holiness, that is our, oh my God. I'm going to find every coin. Everything means something to me. My God, I can't let one coin drop. I can't let one coin drop. Son of a, stand to your feet to me with me. Come on, let's just praise Him for a moment. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I feel that the lost is one to come home. And in order for the lost to come home, we got to get our heads up. Come on, there's sheep in this place. You're not too far away from the fold. You haven't drifted so far that you can't get back up again. You can't wander your way back into the fold. Come on, there's some coins that have been lost. There's some scattered coins that can be retrieved and picked up. There's some houses that can be swept clean of anything. Shut up, Okurabaha, that gets us in the way of truth. Oh! Shut up, Okurabaha. Come on, just for about 2 minutes, I'll just praise Him. I'm going to let you go, but come on, just 2 minutes. Let's give Him praise right here. Say, God, if there's anything inside of me, if there's anything that you want to cleanse, God, I want you to cleanse it. Oh, have mercy upon me, oh God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multiple of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. I want you to pray this prayer right here. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Come on, this is a prayer to God. God, you desire truth to be in my inward parts and in the hidden parts. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Oh, it says, purge me with hyssop. I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away. Cast me not away. This is David. He said, God, cast me not away from thy presence. Oh God, the last thing that I want is for you to cast me away from your presence. But here it is. Restore, restore, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Come on, somebody, lift up your hands to heaven right now. Come on, just pray this prayer and say, Lord, if I find myself drifting away, oh God, I pray, Lord God, if it takes a shepherd to come find me, God, I pray that you send a shepherd. Oh God, the last thing that I want to do, Lord God, the last thing that I want to do, Lord God, is be taken. It's the devil to walk into my life. And I don't want to be the prey of Satan. Come on, if you've been having questions in your mind, Come on, you know what's right. Do you know what you've been taught? Many of you have been apostolic since you were knee-high to a toadstool. Come on, somebody. If the Holy Ghost is inside of you, you know what the Word of God says. You know what you've been taught. You got to go back and make sure all 10 pieces of silver are found. And you can say, God, I have the fullness of truth. Come on, just one more minute. Just one more minute. It's 1 minute to 9 o'clock. Come on, let's just praise Him. Come on, and we have a Father that loves us. We got a Father that loves us. We got a Father that knows exactly where we are. He's the good shepherd. He's such a good, good Father. We're going to sing a little song that says, oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night when you tell that you're pleased and that I never. You're a good, good Father. Who you are. Feel in this place.
Who you are.
Oh, come on, sing it.
Who you are.
I'm a love by
you. It's who I am.
Yeah.
It's who I am. It's who I am.
Church in Maryville, Tennessee. Blog Talk Mom?
Well, hello, my dear, sweet sister Starla, and I'm appreciative for everything that you and Wild Bill do for the program. I say that often, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart, even from the very first songs. And I have, seemed like this Father's Day, my husband being deceased, but he has been on my mind and so many wonderful, pleasant thoughts. And then the song that Joy sang, it seemed like God just took over and blessed everything after he passed away, or, you know, for the funeral. And that there was something so special about Jim and his hands. And this is one of the things when I'm teaching, I bring in prison ministry, jail ministry, the scripture that we are, each of us, we're inscribed in the palm of his hand, of God, Almighty God. And I believe that that nail scars, all of that that he went through, and it supernaturally, we are included by name, by everything about us, and the wonderful hands of God. And I just, it was beautiful tonight. Everything was very, very encouraging. And it was balance. The shepherd, okay, I have 100-something-page notebook on the 23rd Psalm. And one of our young ladies that preaches at our church brought out a really good statement about the 10 coins. She said those coins were not just coins. They were for the marriage, for when she was to marry. She was to have all of these coins. And it was just part of the ceremony and whatever. And so we compare that to us being the bride of Christ. And when he gives us, you know, he bestows upon us these things, then we're to be able to bring them in, you know, present them, whatever he gives us, that they're for his glory and his honor. So this was super. The preacher brought so many awesome, and for one night to bring all of those points out, it was beautiful. And I'm knowing that you and Wild Bill are just going to have wonderful things to say.
Well, we're waiting on Wild Bill, so you can continue. I really enjoyed it.
It was, and you're such a good narrator. I do appreciate you, the way you bring, you know, tie everything together, and it's really, really good. The little sheep, it's amazing how many lessons we can get from that from sheep, just sheep. One of the things I use is there's a disease scab that the sheep can get that is fatal. The only thing that can help with is the shepherd. And he takes and he cuts back all of the wool that's become contaminated with all kinds of maybe little bugs and worms and different types of twigs and things that maybe with sharp edges. And they get infected. And so the shepherd cleans all that off, and then there's a solution that he dips the sheep down in, and it will dry up all of the problem. And so our shepherd, when we get the scab, and I call it, the acronym SCAB is self-pity, confusion, anger, and bitterness. When we get these things that can destroy us and defile us and others, then we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he takes his word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to the word of God. And like the minister brought out, it's our light. It's everything that we need to trim our lamp and to be prepared to be the one that when God calls us to him. He's just such an awesome. Every illustration about sheep to me is very, very, very encouraging and instructive. About years ago, I'd heard ministers say that that the shepherd would break the leg of the sheep, you know, literally break it. And that is not true. I don't know if I misunderstood or they didn't know, but what they do is they put something on that little sheep's leg. It's like it's a weight or something, and it makes them lean on the shepherd. And I think I can relate so many times in my life that I went through something that was not pleasant, but it made me lean on the shepherd. It wasn't anything I would have chosen, but it was absolutely essential to get me to lean on him and to let him restore my soul. Like in the 23rd Psalm, as he mentioned, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And when they go by that water, if the shepherd took them where it was like a real wild, rustling water, then they would drown. It gets a hold of their wool and just pulls them under. But he makes sure that that doesn't happen. And then they can have water and be refreshed. And so God will never put more on us, no temptation greater than we'll be able to withstand with his help, you know, by following and being led by him, by the Lord, by the shepherd of our soul. So there's just hundreds of illustrations and instruction, and I agree with everything the gentleman said about our getting ready for we can go by death. You know, we don't know how we're going to go from this life to the next. But we do know that the Bible instructs us we want our lamps full of oil, full of the Holy Ghost. Not just a little bit, but full. And the 23rd Psalm says, he anoints me, my head with oil, my cup overflows. You know, this is what God's got for us. And then trimming the lamp, trimming the wick. We used to have those big lamps, and you had to trim off the wick, would get burnt and hardened, and then it wouldn't absorb the oil. And sometimes, many times in my life, I've become hardened or hurt or just whatever life brings to me, and then my light doesn't shine. I have to go through the process of allowing the Word of God, ministers that preach to me, circumstances, my own prayer life. And we're just having a wonderful time right now, several of us praying from 9 to 10 in the morning. And it has been so blessed, so blessed. I just, like the minister said, this is our tape. If we're going to ever have a time more suitable, I don't know how it could be, where we could pray and really have quiet time with God and not build our life around, you know, but have our prayer and our prayer time with him and then build around that rather than, you know, trying to fit it into something that we've already got our time occupied, our mind occupied, our goals, our everything, you know, just occupied. And then we'll fit God in, and that's not the process. He's first, he's foremost, and then the other things. He's the anchor, he's the rock, and then we build on that. By, you know, it's just the right process. So cool, sheep had to learn, and I have to learn it really often. Now, I have talked a long time. Bob, you with us?
Not quite yet.
Wow.
I don't know what's going on with him.
There was, I was studying today in my own just devotional, which I go many different directions, but there, I believe there was a man, Charles Blondin was his name, and he was noted for crossing over the Niagara Falls. He would, you know, he would go on this, like a tightrope. You familiar with that? And he had this situation one time, and he pulled out a wheelbarrow. He had a lot of ways of doing it, but he had this wheelbarrow, and he asked everybody if they thought, there was a huge crowd watching him, do you think I can do this? Do you think I can get across there with this wheelbarrow? And yes, yes, yes. And he said, well, do you think I could do it with somebody in the wheelbarrow? Yes, yes, yes. And he said, well, who's the volunteer? And everybody got real quiet. And finally, one man stepped forward, and he got in the wheelbarrow. You know, there's a lot of times that this compares to everybody. All, you know, we want to, we believe. But when it comes time for us to prove that by being in the wheelbarrow, whatever God's calling us to do, whatever place we are, whatever, you know, it is, then that's the difference. And that's what God is, I feel like right now in this pandemic, he's saying, do you believe? Oh, yeah, yeah, I believe. Well, get in the wheelbarrow. You know, get in. Get right into this with prayer that, you know, he looked for someone. Just, you know, anybody, that's the scripture, that was standing in the gap, make up the hedge, but he couldn't find anyone. So there's never in my life been a greater time for me to feel like I am just so close to the Lord as far as intercession and worship. And he's brought out in every sermon I've heard, everybody that's ministered to me in the last week or so has brought out that in the midst of all confusion and all of everything in the pandemic and the end time and whatever, God gives us a song. And that is the most beautiful. As we dwell on that, it doesn't matter what key, it doesn't matter whatever, sing unto God. And let our song go up. And, you know, the Bible says that the angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. And I believe they hear us when we sing unto our God. And not about him, but to him. How awesome, how great is our God. And the song that the gentleman sang at the very beginning of his sermon is the one that we have on the last album, where the man has been delivered after 38 years involved in drugs. And I think it was 10 strokes. All of the things that's happened to him. But he knows about that amazing grace. And that song, even though he's not, you know, professional in different ways at that, people have come to me over and over and say, that's my favorite song. And on that album, he says, that's my favorite one. Because they feel that, where he really does know about, there was no hope, but God came to him. And, oh, it's beautiful. His faith is that song. We've used it in these large meetings once a year when people have been clean for a year. And every time, God will just bypass. I mean, everybody's talented and whatever, but that song and him singing that has a special anointing. It's just so beautiful. I love that song. So I was real pleased with everything that Brother Bill, Wild Bill, chose for putting it together tonight. And now I know he's there.
Hello,
Wild Bill. Hear the roar of a mighty truck in the background. Hello. Yeah, I seem to be some confusion. My phone tried to put me on before I was still out here working, and then I turned it off and turned it back on. It takes two hands most of the time to drive a truck, and then trying to hear, and then I didn't know Starla had sent me a text, and so I've been sitting here thinking, I guess they're going to let me on tonight.
Oh,
I can't
funny.
Just switch from screen to screen. I'm kind of busy.
Oh, I'm sorry to be laughing, but that was so cute.
I loved how everything fit together on this, with it being Father's Day, and it just, you know, it didn't really look like that towards the beginning until he brought it back around at the end. But I love how God's word at certain times, sometimes it's something that's like iron that sharpens iron. Sometimes it's, you know, like a sword that has to cut things away. Sometimes it's like a little reconstruction and you know confirming things of what you are living in your life. And with this here, looking at the sheep is the way he explained it, I saw something that it just expanded something within me. The sheep don't purposely wander off. They can't see very far. But, I mean, there's things where they have walked right up to a wolf or a lion to be eaten because they have no clue that it's there. But they can hear really well, and they know their master's voice. And so that's a part that, you know, he's always there. But we look at people, how they go astray sometimes, and I pray you guys have never been this way, but you're like, yeah, they're getting what they had coming. Yeah, look what they were doing in their life. You know, look how they were straying this way and that way, and, you know, and kind of being a stumbling block to other people with things. And, you know, think all the times I felt like they were being mean to me because, you know, they were an obstacle where I was trying to help people in things. And that's not going to bring that sheep back in. Praying for them and praying a trail for them is not going to get them back. They can't read a trail. They need a shepherd that's going to come. And we understand in all of our examples about Jesus being the good shepherd, but then are we not to be under shepherds to reach out to those that walk away? In this situation here, they're not going to find their, if they find their way back on their own, it is because of pure luck and the grace of God. But God wants us to understand there's those that you got to go get. And going to get something that don't want to be got, it don't matter if it's a cat or a dog or a horse. Each of them has their own challenges. I can remember every time it seemed like I wanted to ride my horse, she decided that was a day that she didn't care how much grain I had in a bucket. She wasn't coming. You know, and guess what? I could not outrun the horse. And the same thing is with us sometimes. You know, God's wanting, sending people our direction to bring us back. And sometimes we have it in our head that we know better. It's like flying an airplane. When you get out there and you can't see, people tell me that when you're looking at instruments, you can't tell up from down. And a lot of times they get confused and they're trying to climb above a fog bank or something and not realize that they're nosediving straight into the ground. And I think that's the way sheep are sometimes. They're just, it's not on purpose they meant to go away. But as he shared, it's just the little things that come in. One little grass bit over here. Oh, that tasted pretty good. Let's see if I can't stay on the trail of this. And I walk on, oh, yeah, here's something even better. You know, and maybe they hear the master's voice, but they just like, but this is good stuff. You know, you want me to get fat and be able to grow this big bunch of hair up here that you can use, you know, for blankets and things and clothes. And this. There is no evil intent, like he was talking about, those that all of a sudden they can't make it to a church service or they can't make it to a choir practice or, you know, there's things that you see sometimes where people are their own worst enemy in the kingdom of God. And it makes me want to weep. But yet, wouldn't it have been just better just to walk out there and like, hey, here's the trail. Come on back. Let me encourage. Let me give you some words of encouragement. You're not the first person that got off here and got in some really good clover and went across something over here. It had some different kind of soil to it and different minerals was in it, and it just tasted so good, and you lost your way. The Bible says we've all lost our way, but it sure is easy to be judgmental and forget that all part when we're seeing other people go through the same process. I'm speaking for myself. Maybe you guys are better than me. But I see people that just they seem like they're doing it their own way. Preacher preaches a message. They go exactly opposite of what he said. And then they're like, whoa, is me. How did I get here? Where was God? But you just took off on your own little path there, meandering along. You know, you got what you had coming. But that's not the heart of God. And that's not the heart he wants us to have. And then I've been reading a lot about, you know, the good works that we do and how that, you know, that it's going to be placed in fire. And only those that bring forth the fruit and do the things for the kingdom are going to be able to survive the fire. It's not all about how pretty it is. It don't matter how big of a program you got up and how much millions of dollars you got into it and how much building fund and all those things you come up with it. If you're not reaching the people See, that's the key in all this. It's not just having a program. It's having a program that brings people and God together. And I can see that with the coins. All of a sudden, you know, you grow weary in well-doing. And you're like, well, you know, I'll lay this over here and I'll do this. And, you know, next thing you know, where is that coin? Clutter is really funny because when I was a kid, I was so OCD with how everything had to be in place. And I don't know what happened. I think it was the war of the teenagers, and the teenagers won with me being gone all week. And I'd try to do things in segments, and then I'd come back, and that would all be undone. What I spent, whatever time I had at home doing, then it was changed. And finally, I just gave up. I felt like I couldn't win. I don't know. That's an excuse, isn't it? But anyway, I know what it's like to have things that I know that I have, and I'm wanting to find it. But I've got so much clutter. You know, I know that in this stack over here is this sort of thing, and this stack over there is that sort of thing. And over in that corner, you know, believe it or not, I know what's over in that corner. But then when you get to looking for something specific that doesn't fit into one of your piles or one of your corners, because it should have been something that was precious. It should have been something that had value to you. See, I remember when I first got into church, I had never been to a church that all of a sudden that you had to dress a certain way and had to have certain things in your life. Otherwise, you couldn't sing in a choir. You couldn't be on the platform. And I thought that was just man trying to – well, actually, I was young enough that I didn't think much about it. I just heard other people. That's funny. You don't think kids are listening. But you hear this adult saying, you know, well, that's just man trying to lord his will over people. And then you hear other people say, oh, no, you know, man, this changed my life right here. You know, I believe all of it. But how many people believe things but? I don't quite go there where he's talking about a standard of holiness. And then they really want to go down on the churches that don't really have any standard that they hold up like that in their church. But they have a spirit of love that they accept people how they are. And it seems like they're constantly getting more converts in their altars to come and pray. And yet they end up living the things that some of the other churches have as what we would call a standard of holiness. It's an interesting thing to look at, but the way he brought it out about you get to listening to other people or you get to thinking about things yourself, and all of a sudden you've cluttered all these things around something that was meant to be valuable. And the worst thing that can happen is that all of a sudden you're like, well, it ain't really worth nothing. This part of the relationship, it has no value to me. See, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to get you to just kind of look into the left and look into the right and listen to what this has to say, listen to what that has to say. And then usually what happens in the midst of all this is our fantastic brain that God has given us all of a sudden wants to come up with his own thoughts. And when our thoughts go against God's thoughts, well, he let us know that our minds are in enmity. Between us and him. We're enemies, our mind is, to the things of God and what we can just think out. And we know these things and we hear these things, but how often do we try to take and apply those things? Like right now, how many of you that are going to hear this tonight or some other time are thinking, where's my 10 coins? I know where 5 of them are. Where's the other 5? How many of you are going to be willing to get into God's word and to get on your knees in prayer and let God help you to find out what those 5 coins were? I don't remember having more than 5 coins, Lord. How can I be held accountable for 10? You know, are you sure you gave me 5 coins? Is this what I had to work with? We live in a life today where we are so busy. It ain't like when I was a little boy where at dark everything closed. You know, it seems so weird now. I can remember when if you didn't have gas on Sunday that you'd already bought on Saturday, you weren't going to get no gas. Unless you had a truck stop close to where you lived, that was the only place that was open on weekends on Sundays that you could go and get gas. And people, they made sure they had all their milk and their eggs and their fabric softener and all the things that they were going to need, they made sure that they went to the stores on Saturday and got that because you couldn't get it. And the stores that were open on Sundays, you couldn't buy alcoholic beverages. And yet, you think about that and try to look at today, and like, is there anything that you can't get today, any day of the week, any time of the day? Nothing. I mean, Amazon is guaranteeing next day delivery on things now. I mean, anything that could go through your mind is available for you to have, and it makes you get to thinking that, man, I've got this all worked out. I know how to use Amazon. I got my Amazon Prime card, and, you know, I know how to work eBay, and, ooh, I got my video games that I could play to, you know, if I'm just bored, you know, just, you know, I can go on and see what everybody's got to say about this, that, or what, you know, on social media. And then before you realize it, you got this huge pile of stuff, and where's my coin? But even worse, like I was saying before, when God's required us to be able to give back to Him the 10 coins, what's going to happen when you don't have the 10 coins? It's going to have value someday. When that door was closed by God on that ark, all those sermons that they heard for years and years and years about it's going to rain, and that means water's going to come out of the sky, and it's going to come up on the ground, and the world's going to be flooded, and this is a boat. This is an ark. And in this ark is safety. All you have to do is come and get in the ark. And that message didn't mean nothing to those people for years and years and years. And then one day, bloop, hey, what was that hit me on top of my head? Bloop, bloop, hey, it's a couple, what in the world's, that's rain. That's water falling from the sky. It's probably just going to be something that'll pass here in a little bit. Don't need to worry about that. I'm sure that there were some people when the first drops started hitting that they were going just as hard and as fast as they could towards that ark. And then there's others that were sitting there and say, oh, this is a pass. This ain't going to be that bad. It's something unusual. It has nothing to do with that quack. You know, he's sitting there talking about building that boat and all these things. You know, it don't mean nothing. How high did the water have to get before all of a sudden they're like, okay, I was wrong. You know, I'm willing to let my flesh die out to show that I was totally on the wrong page of this. And I'm going to, man, I'm going as hard as I can through this water knee deep to get over to that ark. And there's things around here. I just get up on one of these mountains, and if it gets up out, I just swim. See, everybody looks at what's going on in the world today from their own perspective, and how much of God you have in it will show and how you respond. Are you enjoying going out there and finding churches that really have a move of the Holy Ghost in a powerful way, moving through their church where they're reaching out to people in a way that they never have been able to before, where you see the backslider coming back? I'm encouraged by the churches that are having this sort of revival that's going through what's in their churches. And the ministry and what they're getting there, and these huge ministry groups that are getting together and they're sharing things and they're talking it out in groups, and then they're coming up with these Bible study lessons and sermons. It is some of the best preaching that I have ever heard in my life, even though I could probably have to admit that I've heard some of these same things several hundred times, because it fits the time. It fits the time. And today, we don't have an ark with a door on it, but there's coming a day when God's going to say, that's enough. That's it. I'm coming back for a bride that's pure and holy. She's going to have her 10 coins. She's going to be ready. She knows my voice. She stayed in the fold. She had oil in her lamp. All the things I've given her, she's got it all there. She's prepared. She's of rare beauty. And then we're going to say, whew, man, I might need to take some of this purple stuff out of my hair here or something. Or, man, you know, all this dangly stuff I'm wearing, you know, really, do I really need to have that in my life? What am I thinking? And this going to church thing and paying tithes and, oh, man, it's trying to live holy and separate from the world before God. Oh, Lord, you know, is it too late? Can I go now? You know, I'm ready. I understand. I've got the message. But once he comes for his bride, it's over. Over. Just like when that door was shut on that ark, it was it. Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. And God's going to make it that where he's the one that's just the door for this next coming. He's in control of all of it. We got all the signs of things going on around us. We got people that don't hate races that are sitting there feeling like they're racist if they don't go along with all these things they're wanting to do with Civil War statues and things. And then we got other people that are just angry and just want to lash out, and it has nothing to do with race. They're just frustrated and fearful, all this shutting up with the coronavirus and everything. They're just looking for any reason just to go in and loot a store and rob people and just lash out in all that anger that they have. Because if you're not following God, then you're following Satan. And Satan's MO has never changed. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy all the things that God has for us. And as much as at times I hated it when I knew my dad was going to give me a whipping for something that I didn't do that I knew I was supposed to do, there was some kind of release that came after the whipping. You know, the air was clear. Everything was there. And so maybe you feel like, you know, I've got to go and, you know, God may take me up behind the woodshed and, you know, he's going to have to chastise me a little bit because he loves me. The freshness of the air between you and God after that, if you just keep your heart right and your mind right, it's not meant for your evil to come to you. It's meant for good things. The things he has for us, man, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Not hungover, not sitting there trying to figure out how you're going to pay your bills. Not that nobody cares about you. With God, you know that he always cares about you. He loves you. Oh, I don't know. It just seems like I'm kind of rambling here, but it's just, this is the message for the time for those that are either lukewarm or for those that have walked away, the backslider. So it's up to us in our place, if we're not the lukewarm and the backslider, to be the under shepherds to go out and help with the sheep. Not take joy at what they're doing, especially if they've been a major stumbling block in your life and, you know, done things to damage your testimony or something. I've been there and done that, but you still have to respond as if God would respond. And that can only happen when you're full of the Holy Ghost. So, all right, Starla, I'm turning it back to you and Block Talk Mom.
Block Talk Mom?
Yes, I was just dwelling on what Wild Bill was saying there towards the end, because that last statement that he made, it just seemed like, I always say, put the icing on the cake, but I loved everything he said. And then what the point is that we can't do it without the Holy Ghost. That, you know, make up our mind that the prodigal son, we're going to go back, you know, to God's way. And then, like the little lost sheep, we're going to be, God's going to, wherever we are, he's going to find us if we're his sheep. And then not settle for 9%, but go up full 10 coins, which is 100%. And it's all by the, we can't, like you said, I love that, Wild Bill, we can't do it without God. We can't do it without his spirit. And so that's what he said. I'll anoint your head with oil and your cup will overflow. And I'm so thankful for that. I love God so much. I had an awesome, wonderful day today. And thank you for your prayers, both of you. And I love this program. As I've told you, I look forward to it so much. And every part of it ministers to me. It helps me go from week to week. So that's all I have to say. And I love you very much.
Oh, we love you too, Blog Talk Mom. And we want to thank all of our faithful listeners. See you back here next week at your place. Good night.